In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Rolling with you until 7 o'clock tonight. It's what we do every single day. Until it's 6:30 season, Anthony. Which we still got a couple more months until the hoops roll around and start knocking us off the air early.
I'm not going to lie, Craig. You said that was some excitement.
I'm happy at 7 o'clock season. We got stuff to talk about today. Today is, I was scared of the show today. Not like, oh my God, I have to do my job. But like some days kind of plan themselves out. And then other days, you really got to go dig out the content. And we got to a point today, and I'm actually still at that point. I haven't decided what we're doing in the final hour of the show yet. We are overloaded today. And I like that. I like that.
Well, that's good because where we were, I want to say a couple of hours ago.
We had a lot of stuff floating a couple of hours ago. We hadn't put it on the rundown yet.
Yeah, that's what it was.
But we are we're schemed up. We're ready to go, fired up. And we got all kinds of cool stuff for you on the show today, including a lot of calls this hour. Because there has been a phrase that has been going around the Commanders universe by the main decision makers that we should parse out. And I am curious what fans think on this. And I'm also curious to suss out what the actual people saying it mean when they say this. Yesterday, Adam Peters would default to the phrase, we're going to do what's best for the team, whenever he got kind of pressed on any kind of question in terms of, hey, why'd you make this decision? We're just going to do what's best for the team. Why'd you make that decision? We thought it was best for the team. And like, duh, I didn't think that you were self-sabotaging. And I don't say that to be like, Adam Peters, you whatever. Like, no, like, I just, this is why sit-down interviews are great and press conferences kind of stink, because it's a lot easier when you are in a sit-down interview or a radio, like, phoner interview to follow up on something and be like, what do you mean by best for the team? Do you just think he's better for this year? Is that a long-term play? Why did you think he was best for the team? Like, what about that player that you're asking about compared to the other player? And, you know, sometimes executives or coaches or whoever will answer that. And sometimes they'll go, I'd rather keep that private. Okay, fine. But I would like to know. And I think specific to the Commanders this year, that answer varies depending on who you're asking about. What's best for the team is a dynamic statement. It is a statement that moves. Not everything should be geared towards the future. Not everything should be geared towards right now. Not everything is, hey, we went for the high upside traits guy. Not everything is we went for the older veteran. They made individual decisions based off position, based off player. And like, that's what the job is. I'm not asking Adam Peters to have some kind of consistency that he makes the same decision everywhere. I'm thrilled that he is a dynamic thinker that clearly is trying to make these decisions through the funnel of what's best for the team, and that some decisions are going to have that standard reasoning of we did what we thought was best for the team, while simultaneously might be a little bit contradictory at certain positions. Well, at that position, I'll give you an example, right? They made upside high-end swings at defensive end, And they would say, like, hey, you know, we're trying to plan for the future. We're trying to, you know, we believe in some long-term projects. We think that these guys could be not just good players, but great players for us. I'd imagine if you pressed on Javonte Jean-Baptiste and Jamin Davis, you get answers something like that. Meanwhile, if you say, well, okay, well, if you're going for higher upside, you know, why did you decide to keep, say, Michael Dieter over Ricky Stromberg? Stromberg was a third-round pick just last year. And they would go, well, we know that Jaden Daniels is a rookie and, you know, you have to plan in case of injury. And Dieter's a guy that's played a lot of football. He's a veteran and he's our backup center. And we want a veteran center out there at all times with Jaden. And Ricky didn't play any center last year. He's played zero NFL center. So that seems relevant. And I'd be like, yeah, look at you being dynamic, having a plan, understanding where the pieces of that fit or how they fit in the puzzle. But like a true puzzle, not all pieces are the same. Sometimes you're looking for the little jagged corner. Sometimes you're looking for the one that always looks like Idaho. I don't know, but there's always a piece that looks like Idaho. And you're trying to plug it in. And so it is a constant moving kind of thing that you're dealing with here. And that phrase, what's best for the team, is one that is not straightforward. And I would love to spend time unpacking that. Both, I would love to have Adam Peters on. He's actually going to be on Grant and Danny. And we're talking in the hallway. I do believe they are going to ask that question. So we might have a little bit more from Adam Peters on this later in the show. But I'd also like to unpack it with you at 301-230-0980. Like, what do you think is best for the team, if you will, in 2024 for the Commanders? I talked to Logan about this morning on Take Command. Of course, Logan Paulson, my co-host there, 10-year NFL veteran, including 5 here in D.C., maybe 6, many years in D.C., until he ultimately went to Chicago. And then in 2017, he was in San Francisco, where the new assistant general manager, Adam Peters, helped Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch start a build that ultimately ended with multiple Super Bowl appearances. And they've been one of the best teams in football almost since that first year that Peters, Lynch, and Shanahan got to the Bay. So I asked Logan that question. I said, hey, this is a dynamic statement. What do you think it means for Washington when Adam Peters says we're going to do what's best for the team?
So this is all just pure speculation, but I go off a lot of what happened in 2017 when I was in San Francisco with him too. And the team building philosophy seems very similar. And what I mean by that is, like, there was a couple guys that were older that I think were better football players at the time. And then they kind of bank on a young developmental piece. So I think you see that here, and you kind of say, like, you know, obviously KJ Henry, like we were just talking about, is probably, you know, if you had to win a game tomorrow, is the guy you'd want. But Jean-Baptiste was coming on really strong. He's this long, traitsy, tall, athletic guy who was starting to make plays in the preseason. Jamin, the explosiveness, guys that I think you're looking for upside. So when they say best for the team, I don't think it's best for the team necessarily tomorrow. I think it's best for the team 6 weeks from now, 8 weeks from now, because you're kind of hoping for a developmental arc, and that's ultimately what you're gambling on. So this is all just pure speculation, but I go off a lot of what happened in 2007.
Apparently the repeat function is on. I think that what Logan said at the end there before the bite unceremoniously restarted, but don't worry, Anthony, I have now turned the repeat function off for the next bite that we play. What Logan says at the end there about 6 to 8 weeks from now, I think should be comforting in some way for fans, that when we talk about this being a long-term project, it's not like you're going to wake up in 3 years and voila, there's a contender and it's been nothing but misery, sadness, and losing ever since. You're going to see progress this year. I would hope, if it's going well, you should see progress this year. You should see that play style certainly established. You should see a team that is competing week in, week out, is fast, is physical. It looks very different than the sad sack of a football team that wound up wearing burgundy and gold in the last 6 weeks of last year. Everyone was beaten down. Everyone knew that it was a death march towards everyone getting fired. And morale stunk. The quality of play wasn't very good. And we saw what it was. It was uncompetitive, and it just wasn't any fun to watch. I would be stunned if at any point this year that happens for anything longer than a couple of series. It doesn't mean that they're going to win. It doesn't mean that everyone's going to be excited and happy all the time, but there is going to be a standard that's different. And I think we'll see that. And making sure that is happening is how you incubate growth. That, hey, let's make sure we maximize every single week so we can get the most out of these reps so that we can learn that 6 weeks from now, maybe we don't make that same mistake, or we read, it's not even making a mistake. We do the thing that we want to do a little bit faster. And for guys like Jamin Davis, guys like Javonte Jean-Baptiste, that is really important. But that also doesn't mean that they aren't making some considerations, sometimes with those very same players, for things that are happening right now. Something that Logan also pointed out when we talked about it this morning.
Those two defensive ends specifically, I think, are really good examples of that, right? Like, Jamin is not ready just yet, but I do think based on how he's looked through the last three preseason games, week two, three, four, like, you're looking at someone that's going to make a significant impact to this team as a pass rusher, right? I think same thing with Jean-Baptiste. He's for sure a rotational guy now, but I think if you look at, again, the development in the Miami game and the New England game, the value he brings on teams, I think that's the other thing that kind of stuck out to me, and Fred Smoot mentioned this a lot on the Command Center show, was just the flexibility. Like, KJ Henry, not the best special teams guy, but Jean-Baptiste was making plays on kickoff coverage, on punt. Jamin Davis can play a little linebacker, can play teams, can play defensive end. It gives you some options in this team. So when I say it's best for the team, I think it's best for the team long term. And I think there's something very obvious about that statement, because when you're making a team, like, it's definitely not what's best for the individual, right? Because if it was best for the individual, like, that person would be on the team. So it's always
everybody makes the team. Yay!
Right. And so I think, like, that's kind of an obvious statement to me, but it does kind of encapsulate to me this idea of, like, we're kind of making upside plays on a lot of these athletes.
And that's the thing. Like, upside is great. Things that you can do right now are great. Allowing some flexibility that if they want to try something different in the middle of the year, like, that's all good in year one of a rebuild. Where, to me, when I try to answer this question, actually, I'll do it this way. I actually have a definitive theme for the season. I will tell you what it is next, but we'll also hear from you. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. I will tell you the tie that I think does bind all of this together. And we'll take your calls on the very simple question that is actually very complex. What's best for the team mean for the Washington Commanders in the year 2024? Your calls and my theme next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
A lot goes into taking care of your property. You need equipment with more reliability, durability, and versatility built in. Like number one selling Kubota BX and L Series compact tractors, Z Series mowers that deliver a quality cut, and Sidekick utility vehicles where durability meets speed. Visit your local Kubota dealer for a demo today.
CEC Turf and Tractor. On the web at cecturfandtractor.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Every general manager in sports wants to do what's best for the team. But what does that actually mean for the Washington Commanders in 2024? That's the question we're talking about with you at 301-230-0980. And we're talking about it because we heard that phrase a lot over the last 2 days. We heard it yesterday from Washington Commanders general manager Adam Peters.
Yeah, I think, in regards to the draft picks from last year, and I think DQ hit it on the other day, Mitch, these guys were all Commanders and they're all ours, you know, so, and we're thrilled to bring a bunch of them back on the practice squad, and you know how it goes. There, a lot of them are going to be playing for us this year, and a lot of those guys embody what we're looking for. We just had, in our eyes, some other guys ahead of them, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to keep getting better and become really good Commanders for us. But you're always, we're trying to win, and it goes back to his initial press conference. We're recalibrating, so we're not, we're trying to build for the long term and win championships. Year in and year out, but we're also trying to win right now.
So they got to do what's best for the team. Lance Newmark, assistant general manager, today, first question he was asked, what went into building the roster from March when you got here until right now?
Well, it's been a very active 5 or 6 months, whatever it's been. Every day we've come in here with the attitude of trying to get this better, to make this team as competitive as it can be right away, while also trying to build a team that's going to be competitive for the long haul. So every day we just try to find ways to get better, try to find ways to improve our roster, improve our process, whether it's free agency, whether it's the draft, whether it's workouts, whether it's going back on guys that have been hurt. We try to look under every rock and find every opportunity to improve, and we're trying to do that as fast as we can.
Anthony, in Washington, D.C., there's a very good chance that we have some political communications managers listening to the show, some people that work, they're staffers in Congress or wherever, and they are so jealous of Adam Peters and Lance Newmark being so on message. If they could get there, if they're convinced that if they could just get their member of Congress, their senator, their politician of whatever persuasion that they work for here in D.C. to just be on message, they could just do the thing that they tell them to do. Say it, nail the press conference on message, that their person could be president. They're convinced.
You might be onto something.
Here's the thing, though.
Uh-oh.
It's not about nailing the message. It's about the message being the substance. It's about the fact that this is actually how they operate. This isn't a group of guys just selling you a bill of goods. Are they politicizing the speaking points a little bit in terms of being a little more vague and making sure that they're not too detailed while also saying something substantive? Yes, but like they truly believe in, hey, we got a decision to make. How's this going to affect us now? How's this going to affect us later? And then they make decisions based off of the balance of those things. And that is how competent decision-making works. That's how competent leadership works. It's not about, I listen to some like political podcasts sometimes and I get a little driven up a wall because it's like the message. And it's like, no. The problem for some politicians, for some companies, for some anybody who has a public facing anything is often not that they're not nailing the message. It's that we're reflecting reality. And if you have a good story to tell, yes, you have to be skilled in telling it, but it starts with having a good story to tell. And the way they do business, they have, I think, a story to tell. And I said I would get back to kind of the theme of what I think ties all this stuff together. If they had to describe in one phrase, in one synopsis, what it means to be best for the team in 2024, I think it is giving them clarity to launch into 2025 and beyond. And so what I mean by that is, if you look at positions defensively where they might need to invest major resources and they are taking big upside swings, they're doing it because they want to find out, do they have something where they don't have to invest those resources at edge, at wide receiver, at corner, three, at offensive line to an extent, with three, four there, really expensive, the four probably most expensive non-quarterback positions in the sport. oh my God, if Emmanuel Forbes can actually be what they thought he was when he got drafted, then we don't have to spend stupid money on a number one corner or our number one draft pick on a number one corner. Same at wide receiver. If Terry is awesome, which it looks so far so good on that, they've already discovered that Jahan was not going to be a viable number two for them. But if Tiami Brown or Noah Brown or Olamide Zaccheaus emerges as a legitimate number two for the meantime, well, that changes the literal mathematical equation of how they spend their resources moving forward. By the same token, they got to make sure that Jaden is protected and insulated and grows to a point that starting hopefully as soon as next year, but certainly 2 years from now, that he's ready to be a top 10 quarterback in the league, which is what they drafted him to be, if not top five. And so some of the offensive line choices are done with more veteran type guys in mind, because they want less variance there. They're less willing to take an upside risk because the downside might be too large. At left tackle, they didn't really have that much of a choice. And so Brandon Coleman winds up somewhat being there by default with Cornelius Lucas as a sound backup behind him. So to me, when I look at the theme that ties this entire year together, it is ensuring that there is clarity, putting the pieces in place to have clarity at major positions going into 2025 and going into their second offseason here, the first one for which they will have actually been around for the season, which will allow them to move and shake in the ways that they need to starting next season. 301-230-0980 is the phone number. 301-230-0980, the team 980. Listener line, let's go to our guy Ross in Tampa. Ross, thanks for calling. What do you think it means to be the best for the team for the Commanders in 2024?
What's going on, Craig? How's it going, man? Hey, before I get started, I told Anthony, man, tonight's going to be my first night recording a podcast. I let my buddies listen to that strip club story that you posted, and then they strong-armed me. They said I didn't have a choice. I got to talk, so... Yeah,
that's
the best of luck on
very
that,
funny. Best of definitely best of luck. It's harder than it looks, but also everyone has a podcast, so the stakes are low.
That's, I just think you ain't lying.
All right, what you got?
We're close in age, Craig. I'm 33 years old. Do you remember the show Rocket Power?
I do remember Woogity Woogity. I remember the show Rocket Power. Of course, I remember the show Rocket Power. Anthony, are you old enough to remember the show Rocket Power?
Yes, I am. Why are you guys disrespecting me, man?
It's one of those things that if it didn't hit an exact window, then you might not have. So you might have been just too young for the window.
Yep. I was there.
All right. How are we on Rocket Power? Bring us back.
So there was an episode where the guys were cleaning up the beach, but there was always trash surfacing from the shore, and they were getting frustrated. Where is this trash coming from? Oh my goodness. And then eventually they realized there was a hole in the valve off by the dock. So they filled up the hole, and then they said, okay, we got to clean this trash up one more time, and then we got ourselves a clean beach. And it also ties into what you were talking about when that guy called in using the infamous B word that we won't use on your show about how we waited this long, let's wait a little bit longer. And that's where I'm going with this. It's like what's best for the team is what the head honchos of the football operations feel as though their moves are, which are moves that are best for the team. So I feel like there will always be division within the fan base where you trade Jahan Dotson and people will equivalent that to, oh, man, we just traded Patrick Mahomes for a conditional fifth-round pick. But it's like I told Rush yesterday, man, whatever these guys do, I'm fully on board. I wish they would have kept the edge rusher, but it's also one of them things like, hey, they let him go for a reason. I trust what they're doing.
Right.
So the whole best for the team thing, I'm fully on board with what these guys got going on. And, hey, man, we need more Shanes and need more Marvins calling you, because when they call you, get you fired up, and you go on these nice little tirades, it's great radio, man.
I don't know if it's good for my health, though.
Have a good one, man.
Thanks, Ross. I don't know if it's...
You come down to Tampa next Sunday. Come on, man.
If you want to buy my plane ticket, I'll put you on hold and you can tell Anthony your credit card information. If not, I think I'm gonna watch from here. That wasn't a yes,
hey,
Ross.
Hey, man, y'all have a good one.
All right, thanks, Ross. Appreciate it. Ross from Tampa, everybody. Check out his podcast, apparently. You, Anthony, to Ross's analogy for Rocket Power, Bruce Allen was the hole that was dumping trash on the beach.
Wow. Way to, you know, bring it full circle.
Yeah. And then Ron Rivera poked a new hole, seemingly. based off of, you know, the player acquisition history in the last 4 years since Bruce was gone.
Yeah.
So actually, Dan was the hole that just kept letting trash get on the beach.
Dang.
Yeah. It's a good analogy. I like that. Because like once, that's how we treat a lot of stuff. We treat symptoms, not causes. And it seems like they've treated the cause now, and then it's going to take a little bit to clear the symptoms. And then voila, eventually, hopefully, Lord willing, we'll have a good football team to talk about here in D.C. It might take a while. It might also be this year, because that is something that I thought Newmark was really interesting on, and Peters said this yesterday. They think this team is better than they were anticipating. And they have no good reason to say that out loud. In fact, I would argue, if we're going back to the communications and being on message, if I was advising them from a PR standpoint, I'd be like, keep the expectations down. I'd be like, you go up there and say, hey, we're realistic. We know this is a long process and, you know, we're excited about what we have, but we don't know how it's going to play out this year. We just want to empower Dan and to do his best from a coaching standpoint and these players to be their best, and then we'll figure it out from there. Like, I would be so non-committal to being good, and instead both the GM and the assistant GM went, I don't know. We'll see. And that definitely is something that made me go, Have they been burgundy pilled, or are they onto something? We'll find out starting next week in Tampa, and I won't be there unless Ross wants to call back and buy me a flight. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. So what does it mean? Best for the team in 2024. Your calls answering that question next on the Hoffman Show. What does best for the team mean for the Commanders in 2024? We're asking you 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Told you a little bit ago, I think it's any move that can help provide clarity for the future. It is something that supports Jaden Daniels so we can start to understand just how good he is. It is a move that allows for a player that you think has upside to get the repetitions that he needs to figure some stuff out and grow and learn and have experience and make plays and gain confidence. It's all of those things. And sometimes some things might seem contradictory because it's not all moving in one direction or all in another direction. But it also is, you know, some stuff to buffer and you know, support the franchise to win games right now, because they do want to do some of that this year. It's not like they're like, man, we got to tank our butts off because we got to be in the top of the draft next year because there's a ton of quarterbacks. They got their quarterback. So they have the power to move forward now. And if they think they can be good, and even if they're middle of the pack, like, that's not ideal from a long-term planning standpoint, because you'd rather have the top 10 pick if you're not going to win the Super Bowl. Like, that's just the reality. But there are upsides to winning some games and gaining some confidence and learning some things about yourself and being in meaningful games in December. Like, there's upside to all of that. 301-230-0980. Let's go to the phone lines. What does best for the team mean in 2024 through your eyes? Let's go to Fast Eddie. Eddie, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show.
Mr. Hoffman, thanks for taking my call as always, and Anthony as well. I think, as always, I've been calling in to 980 for years and years, is just protecting this young man. I'm 100% in on the rebuild. I agree with everything you just said about trusting the process, trusting this coaching staff. But really, the best thing this year is keep him, hand the ball off, short dunk plays. And, you know, we're not going to win. I can't even see us win 7 or 8 games. So hopefully we get a high draft pick. If not, we trade back, get as many offensive linemen as we can. We got enough money in the war chest to pay position players next year, too, to bring in a receiver, whoever we want, and just keep this man not getting hurt. I'm a little older than you from the last caller. I'm a 47-year-old man. I've seen all the variations of my team over the years, and I've seen enough. He's the future. We can't get him hurt. I'll shut up and I'll listen to you guys talk. Thanks again for taking my call, boss.
Yeah, you got it, Eddie. Thanks for calling and thanks for the passion. You know, clearly care about the team a lot. And I do think sometimes that care can make you have those flashbacks. I'm not getting after Eddie or saying anything or trying to put words in his mouth. But, like, Eddie saw what happened. We all did. You know, you don't have to be anyone that's paid attention to football here in the last 25 years saw what happened to Robert. And we know that while there's other stuff, I think, with Robert that's at this point pretty well known and documented that may have inhibited his career, the injury plays the most significant part. It is the turning point. Does he learn to overcome some of that other stuff? Do things just play out differently in a way that allows him to mature into playing quarterback here successfully if he doesn't get hurt? And so, yeah, that 100% is a relevant thing. The one thing I would say about Jaden, though, and it was something that makes me feel good about 2024 for Washington, is his mental makeup is different. Like, he is, I would be stunned if 10 years from now, Jaden Daniels didn't work out and we look back and it's like, dude just didn't have it up top. Like, he couldn't handle the position. Like, he's already proven it. There was another example today. Apparently, he went to Dan Quinn and asked, hey, am I allowed to stay after practice and work with Noah Brown because we want to get him caught up for week one? Like, is that okay? What? Your starting quarterback asking permission to work with your newly acquired wide receiver to get him caught up? Like, normally that's a Sam Hartman job, right? It's a, hey, practice squad quarterback, let's go out and run some routes. And that's if the guy wants to. And, you know, credit to Noah Brown, he apparently wanted to. But Jaden was like, no, like, I understand that this guy was brought in for a reason. Like, he's talented. Like, let's go. How do we get him up to speed? You know, hey, I know this is hard. Like, we just spent a whole offseason learning the offense. This guy's going to be a part of it. Like, I need to get rapport with him. Like, Jaden is this stuff isn't performative. It's substantive. He is the kind of guy that's just like, oh, this is what it takes to win? Well, then let's do that. Like, that is how his brain has worked since his final year at LSU, when he just kind of was unshackled from the holds of being a college student. He was a grad student with not a lot of class load. And he's like, all right, well, let's see what I can do with this quarterback thing. Oh, this VR stuff is cool. Bang, bang. Hey, Coach Kelly, can I get into the building earlier? I got stuff I want to do. Hey, I'm going to start working out at 5:30. If anybody wants to join me, come on. Next thing you know, Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas, like, they're all there. Because that's who they've got at the helm. And so, yeah, I would say in any way that it is protecting, insulating, and enhancing Jaden Daniels, that is what is best for the team for this year, next year, the year after that, and hopefully a decade on into the future. Let's go to one of our new fantasy football compatriots, Tion. Tion, what's up, bro? How are you and what you got here on what's best for the team in 2024? Going once. Going twice. I know his phone worked yesterday because Anthony, he got in the fantasy football league.
Yeah, I was just talking to him. Maybe put his phone down for a hot second.
Maybe. I got a lot. I hate that. It's like you get a flat tire in the middle of the show.
Yeah.
You're just driving down the road, having a good discussion, talking about stuff. Let's go to the phones. Bang, bang. Splat.
Yeah.
Yikes. See if Lance Newmark can save us here. The assistant general manager of the team speaking today in Ashburn, and a couple of interesting questions asked of him, I thought, including what the ideal intangibles are for the players on this team, because they're going to talk a lot this year about play style and leadership and culture and all these kinds of things. And so as an assistant GM or a GM in Newmark and Adam Peters' case, what does it mean to actually go find those things?
I mean, I feel like at their core, they have to love football and they have to love to work and they have to love to be in the building. It's not just game day. It's a process, and they have to love the process. You know, it's not for everyone. You know, this is a demanding environment, and it's a team environment. It's not it's about winning games as a team and about working hard together. And I think those are the core traits that we look for: people that love football, that love to be around each other, and love to work.
Honestly, having an answer to that question is almost more important than what the answer is. If you're like, yeah, people that hate football and that kind of are lazy, like that's really what we're about. Yeah, that would be problematic. But if you have a clear vision on what it looks like, it is so much easier to find. And then you get to the actual football side. Like, what does it mean to find the right players to fit your team? What's best for the team at each position and find those traits? Something that he worked on with the scouts and Peters worked on with the scouts in year one, trying to fit a Dan Quinn, Joe Witt Jr., Cliff Kingsbury-led team.
I can't give you a specific example. Like, I feel like everybody we drafted and everybody we signed to some degree met those criteria. You know, whether everybody checked every box, I wouldn't say that. But, you know, we try to get the right people that fit the scheme for what we're trying to do. And everything that we did in terms of signing or drafting was intentional with that in purpose, you know.
And that's the stuff they don't want to tell you. Those are the secrets that they're like, no. Which I think is kind of funny because in some ways it's not that hard to figure out. It's pretty clear they like traitsy guys at defensive end. Like Javonte Jean-Baptiste, hey, let's convert Jamin Davis. Hey, like we're having this conversation this morning on Take Command, Anthony. I wish I had thought about this 30 seconds ago. If we were to do a blind resume of Chop Robinson and Jamin Davis, I don't think they'd be that different. Like if I were to do a side-by-side arm length, height, weight, size, 40 time, all that kind of stuff. All right, one is 6'3", 254, 32.5-inch arms, had an athleticism score of 84. The other, hold on one second, I can do this quickly. Draft profile, because that's where that is. So we had 6'3", 254, 32.5-inch arms, 4'4", 8'40", 10'8" broad, 34.5-inch vertical. The other is 6'3.5", 235, 33-inch arms, 94 athleticism score. I don't have the actual 40, etc. But his raw athletic score was 94. Who's who? First guy, Chop Robinson, is the first guy Jamin Davis?
First guy's Jamin.
You're wrong. First guy's Chop.
Chop ran a 4.48?
Yeah, 6'3".
Oh my God.
The only difference is about 20 pounds, which obviously they're going to have Jamin add weight if he's going to play edge for real. 6'3", 254, 32.5-inch arms, 4.4, 8.40. But 84 raw athleticism score. Jamin is a half inch taller, has longer arms, can add the weight, and had a raw athleticism score of 94. And from a production standpoint in school, like Chop didn't have a lot of sack production. And like that's the kind of upset. Like in some ways, they drafted a Chop Robinson type player. They just didn't. They inherited him and switched positions. And asked him to, are going to need him to put on weight if he's going to do it for real, which I'm sure he already has put on some.
Yeah.
So I just think that, like, clearly at some positions we know what they want. And the question is going to be over time, like, is it because that's what you always want? Or is that because, you know, that's what's best for the team right now to take some of those upside swings here, some of those safer picks there, et cetera, et cetera. All right, it's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Back to the NFL at 5 o'clock with a guest that is very special to me. Very excited to share an interview with you at 5 o'clock. Never read the comments at 5:30. You'll hear more from Lance Newmark, Adam Peters, Jaden Daniels, Dan Quinn, all at 6 in our pick 6. But coming up next, quick trip to the hardwood as yet another record falls in Indiana. Why is football America's dominant sport? And how did the Super Bowl become the biggest event on earth? We'll talk to someone about it coming up at 5 o'clock, who wrote a book on the subject. And it's someone that I have great fondness for. We'll explain coming up in Not My Beat at 5. But Anthony, last night, before we get back to football and the dominant sport of America, the Mystics won their third straight game. The Fever won their third straight game. And we saw another record go down in Indiana. We'll get there in a second. I got to say, Mystics, we're going the wrong way for the draft pick here. What are we doing? Winning games, you silly geese. No, it's great. It's great to see. And I think it's just proof of something that we've talked about all year with this team, Anthony, which is if Brittany Sykes had just been healthy all year, this team is not floating at the bottom of the WNBA standings.
Yeah, we see the impact that she has on the offensive end and defensive end. And ultimately, just, you know, also helps out her teammates. And, you know, we've had a couple of people go down, like Shakira. She went down again. And
I freaking hate that for her.
I know. You know, and people are continuing to step up. But I think Brittany Sykes being back, you know, I think we're leaning on her and like she's, you know, actually carrying us onto a lot of these wins.
Do you know how hard it is to be a plus nine and a plus minus when you're a dominant like ball handler type player on a night where you go 2 for 9? And that's what she was last night. Like, she struggled. She could not buy a bucket. Mm-hmm. But her relentlessness at the end of that game, the pressure she kept putting on Chicago, like, it was huge. And then defensively, what she does is obviously tremendous. And so just to watch her do her thing was great. Ariel Atkins, a really nice night. 15 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. And Stephanie Dolson leading the way.
Yep.
With 17 points, 6 boards. And I will say, like, by the way, because he's in the fantasy league now, I feel like I can talk about Tony more. My guy Tony Squares, he did a video the other day that involved talking about Angel Reese. And the comments were dumpster fire because that's what happens if you make a video about Caitlin or Angel on the internet and you're on TikTok or you're on wherever. And then he made another follow-up video that was basically like, why can't we make funny content about these people? Like, why can't we do? And it was just like a devil on or like an angel and a devil type thing. It was really, really funny. So I'm gonna say a basketball observation about Angel Reese and hope that people don't jump out of the woods to come and get me. But people like to talk about Angel like in the rookie of the year stuff. It's like, well, what about defense and rebounding? And it's like, defensively, she's still a rookie. She's got tremendous anticipation. I think her hands are fantastic. Like her ability to steal the basketball for a big is pretty high. Her shot blocking is non-existent. And she still has some players that give her trouble. And last night in some big spots, like Stephanie Dolson took advantage of the fact that Angel Reese is, for as great of a rookie season as she's having, is still a rookie. And also late in that game when Chicago needed a bucket and Angel had the ball in her hands, like that's not her game yet. So I just think that like that was kind of interesting to watch that play out and knowing what some of the commentary is because people make it their entire personality to defend certain players, especially in that sport. And it's like, no, she's allowed to grow. I'm not even saying this is like any kind of long-term criticism. And if they play again in 2 weeks, might be something different because that's what happens when you're a rookie. You have nights that are good and nights that are bad. But it was a reminder, like, it's not like she's some lockdown defender already, and Steph played a huge role in breaking her down last night and getting the win for the Mystics. So, good job, Mystics. Congrats to Eric and the crew. 3 straight wins for them. Would love to see them finish the season on a high note. As we talked to Mike Tebow last week, he talked about how, like, there's a lot of evaluation happening for them, and that's that. Anthony, you're allowed to reapproach the microphone now. When I started talking about Angel Reese in a basketball setting, purely in basketball analysis, Anthony leaned back away as if to say, I am not a part of this. Nobody please come get me.
Oh, no. I was more so just turning to you so I could clearly and eloquently listen to you.
That is an amazing word to stumble on.
No. Just hear what you had to say about, you know, the rookie of the year race in the W, because I've been going back and forth with people about, you know, Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, and it's just I've come to a conclusion where you're only one side of the fence. No matter what Caitlin does, no matter what Angel does,
people have made up their minds.
Yeah, you're fixed
and,
on like who you.
So
who
much
you
want. Of it is not about basketball, and it's
exactly.
Silly. But I don't play those games. I talk about basketball. And last night, Caitlin Clark had another Caitlin Clark game. Although this is somehow lately on the lower end of her games. 19 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 7 turnovers. She is still turning the ball over at an absolutely absurd rate. But they have figured out how to deal with it. And part of that is Kelsey Mitchell is out of her freaking mind right now. She 8 for 14 from the field, 4 for 7 from three, 23 points on the night. She is playing outrageously good basketball. You damn near had a double-double or a triple-double from Aaliyah Boston at one point. It seemed like she was on track. Her rebounding tailed off at the end. But 10, 8, and 6 from her. And Caitlin hits 3 of her 12 threes, which is obviously not great percentage-wise, but it was enough to break the tie that she had, and now she stands alone as the rookie record holder for three-pointers made in a season, so congrats to her in a year where, yes, she is going to win Rookie of the Year because she deserves it. And right now, Indiana is on a roll, and frankly, Anthony, like when you look at the playoff standings, and they beat a Connecticut team, by the way, that's awesome.
Yep.
That is fantastic. That is one of the best teams in the league.
Very physical defensively.
And Caitlin could not handle them earlier in the season. Mm-hmm. And Dejanay Carrington does a really good job on her. But, like, that's the thing. Right now, if you do a really good job on her, you hope that she has 19 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and 7 turnovers. And you got to stop everybody else. And they couldn't stop everybody else.
Yeah, I'm excited for the end of the season. Because I want to say it's like 2 more weeks left.
Yeah, most teams have 8 to 10 games left.
Yeah, it's about 2 more weeks left. And they also have a game here. I don't know if we're going to be able to go to that game.
Why not? Who's we?
I think it's going to be in Cap 1.
It is in Cap 1.
Oh, yeah, well.
So I'm saying, why wouldn't we be able to go?
Well, I will definitely inquire. But
oh, you're talking sitting close.
Yes.
Oh, I'll go if I don't got to sit close. I'm not that bougie.
Well, I'm not saying I necessarily need a ticket close to the action. But still,
just, I would like one.
It is still hard to get tickets in there.
I would like one, but
if it hasn't sold out already.
Yeah, but we got ways to get in the building, Anthony. We're professionals. There's a chance that we'll do the show from the building beforehand.
I like the way you think.
Anyway, I would not want, like, of the teams on the back half of the standings right now, obviously you don't want the Aces in the playoffs, and somehow they're in the fifth seed after they had a mind-blowing loss.
To the Wings.
To the Wings a couple nights ago. The Mercury, like, yeah, they present challenges, but they're a back end playoff team. Chicago, I wouldn't honestly be scared of because I don't think their guard play is good enough for the playoffs. Like, that's a team that is overachieving in year one of a rebuild. Like, good for them. And that's not a shot. Like, they're good for them. But they are 11-19 currently and in the eighth playoff spot because it's only a 12-team league. Meanwhile, Indiana has opened up a huge lead, a 3.5-game lead on them. They're just after their just horrendous start to the season where they didn't look like a functional basketball team. They didn't realize that they were going to get Caitlin Clark and didn't build an offense around her. They're 15-16. And playing them in the playoffs feels like a nightmare. They're 7-3 in their last 10.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to play them.
Want no all. Part of them. None. Zero. All right. When we get back here on the Hoffman Show, we will let you hear a part of an interview that I did last week with a former professor of mine. And before you go, like, what? You're having your former professor on. He was a producer at ESPN for nearly 30 years and then left to be a professor of broadcast at Syracuse, where he taught me in a class called Super Bowl and Society. So it's all about how the Super Bowl plays into the advertising and just kind of the pop culture of America. It was a really fascinating class. And then Dennis decided to write a book out about it. So we talked for a good long time. We cut the interview down to a more radio digestible length. And we're going to play you some of the best of that interview next here on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live as well on the free Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
And life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.